Hey, Pittsburgh. There are some incredibly creative people around our city, and we're here to meet them, learn what they do, and how they create. I'm Alan Fear, and this is the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. I'm Alan Fear, your host, and today we have a very special guest with us. We have Kenny Stockard. Now, Kenny, for our listeners who might not be familiar, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Kenny Stockard. I grew up in St. Louis. I'm a musician. I've been a musician all my life, and I just enjoy doing it, and I do a lot of it in very different ways and styles and variations with bands and mentees and lessons and stage time. So yeah, that's who I am.
Oh, awesome. So you say you're originally from St. Louis. Tell us a little bit how you came to Pittsburgh.
I came to Pittsburgh in 2013 after taking a gap year after undergrad, just to figure out what I wanted to do. And I found a program at Point Park University that I was interested in environmental studies. And that led to me just like pursuing open mics and things like that outside of class time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that turned into, I think I care more about what I'm doing at night than what I'm doing in class. Mm-hmm. And so I made my way, the transition into music started to happen after grad school.
Gotcha. So so you get done with Point Park. What made you decide to stay in Pittsburgh?
I always said I would never move because it was trendy. I would only move if I didn't have work where I was currently.
Right,
and if there's a job, I don't see a reason to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And so as soon as I run out of work, I'm leaving Pittsburgh. But it's been 10 years so far, so I don't think.
Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully you keep keeping the.
That's the hope. It's seeming that way. I mean, yeah. It's seeming I got a lot of evidence to say that it may not go away.
Excellent. Excellent. So you're a singer, you're a songwriter. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about like any projects you have coming up or because maybe we can go back from there and we can talk a little bit how we got to that place. But what are you currently up to?
Yeah. So July 28th, I'll be doing a really big show like these needle drop shows at Bottle Rocket Social Hall. Okay. Where we will be singing through Sam Cooke's album from 1963 live at Harlem Square.
Oh.
And so it's a 33-minute album that had long been shelved by his producers because they thought that it single-handedly tainted his image at the time because it was too raw and it was too sexual and it was just too soul for that time frame. So now we have a better time to be what we'd like to be, so we're going to represent that album, and I'm going to be presenting a 1960 soul EP that I've recorded since the pandemic, and we'll perform that live at the end of the show with my 10-piece.
Oh, awesome, and that's original music?
At the second half, yes.
The second half, uh-huh. That's cool. So tell us a little bit about your creative process for your original music. Are you a piano player? Do you play piano or you orchestrate stuff, or is it you come up with lyrics and melodies first, or like what's your process like?
Yes, all of those things.
All of the above.
Yes, I play a few instruments. I kind of play anything I need to get the sound that I'm hearing in my head out. So gotcha. If I don't currently play it, I figure out how to play it to execute. A lot of my songs come in my dreams or through walking down the street, through therapy sessions. When I feel very deeply about things, I write in a journal, and sometimes that becomes a melody. And then sometimes I collaborate with other people. And then sometimes I have a new girlfriend and I'm like, I want to write a song about her.
There
you know, so life inspires me in that way too.
I got a chance to listen through some of your music. It seems like exactly like you were saying before, that it's very like soul inspired. Mm-hmm. What would you say your influences are?
The church. Gospel.
Yes.
Gospel music.
Yeah, you can definitely hear it. I mean, you can definitely hear it in the tracks. For sure.
Oh, yeah. I know more gospel musicians than any other genre, more gospel projects or albums than any other state of music. I love all forms of music, but my mother, our radio station in the car got stuck on the gospel station when I was a kid. I kid you not. She was happy about that. But and I just grew to love it. And because you won't find that level of musicianship in any other style of music, vocally or instrumentally. You will not. And when that is the case, I will transfer and start listening to that genre more. But as for me right now, nothing does for me what gospel does for me.
Are there any like influences in your younger life, like in your church or in some of your experiences that really kind of like forced like not forced, but forged your way forward, like as a creator in terms of like writing original music and stuff? Because sometimes I know it can be daunting, like if you're in like a standard repertoire, you know.
It can be daunting, yeah. But I had a lot of early inspiration. I come from a long line of singers. Me being a musician is not special or unique to any of my family. They are not impressed by that. So my grandfather was a deacon in the church, and so I grew up watching him lead worship up front, as well as my mother, both my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, my great aunts and great uncles, and my great grandparents. So I grew up in a 4 to 5 generational church of immediate family that had migrated during the Great Migration from Mississippi to St. Louis in the early or the late 50s, early 60s. So I had a lot of family inspiration, but also vocal teachers. You know, everybody in life inspires me, man. I'm just a happy man, and sometimes I'm sad, and I write about both.
You know. So as far as your process right now, and we talked a little bit about this, but like, you know, you said you take inspiration from your dreams and whatnot in your music. What's the actual physical process look like? Do you write it down? I've talked to a lot of creators over the last year or so, and especially musicians. It sounds like the voice memo on like the iPhone or like is like you just like trying to get as many scratch things down. Is that what's your process look like as far as the physical nature?
So if I am dreaming and there's a song playing in my head, so I have to walk through the different examples because I have different processes for different scenarios. So if I'm dreaming and there's a song playing in my head, it'll wake me up. And it'll wake me up and I'm singing it and I'm like, whatever is it? Whatever it is. And I'm like, so sometimes it is the voice memos. And then sometimes if I'm hearing multiple harmonies, I go to like a multi-track app on my phone. It's all bedside because I'm not leaving that bed. But I need to get it out because if I don't get it out, I won't sleep. I won't be able to go back down. And so I have to put it somewhere. And I don't often write lyrics down first. I often hit record because I know what I want to say and I just freestyle it. And then later on, we go back and listen and then we type the lyrics.
Gotcha. So the melodies usually come first, or the harmonies, or there's one thing that usually happens.
I would say the vocal part happens first. So the melody and the lyric happen simultaneously.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's really cool. So once you have an idea down, what's it look like next? So do you start talking to people, or do you just start putting it down, like tracks down in your home, or like?
No, I store it away.
Yeah.
I don't look at it again.
Really?
No, I have like voice notes in my phone, like you spoke of, from at least in this current phone from 2018, and they're like more than 500. I consider it my own catalog. And so I am cataloging when I'm creating.
Yeah.
And so when the opportunity comes, for example, I put out a Christmas project last Christmas.
Yeah.
When the time came to discuss it, some of the guys I work with at Eddie V's on Friday nights tonight, they were saying, you should record this, a Christmas project. And I said, it's so hard to record Christmas music, but then I leave very detailed notes in my references for my voice notes, so I can type song reference, and every song reference I have in my notes are in there. And so I like typed Christmas song references. I had already written the Christmas album, so I went to my catalog, pulled those songs out, and fleshed them out. So I leave them as references until there's a need for them, and then I flesh them all out for the market, whatever the job is, you know.
No, that's really cool. It sounds like organization is a big part of that as well.
I'm like, super type A.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can tell. I mean, it's like it's super super organized.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's so funny how different people go about that process.
Yeah, you know? And it's crazy because it's like a smorgasbord. There's no one way, right? It's just and I feel like to some people, and maybe you can speak to this, I feel like sometimes when creators are speaking, it can seem like it is very hard to pin one thing they said on the wall. Because it's like, what's your process? You asked me a direct question. And then I was like, okay, keep my feet on the ground, because I want, there is the creative in me that also kind of goes, well, it's all of those things all at the time, but that's not a concrete answer. Right. So I'm mitigating between myself and my type at the same time.
It sounds like you do have a lot of stuff coming up, and I'm sure there's things you're rehearsing for and getting ready for. So when you're you know, grinding like that, if you will.
Okay, I like that word. Yeah, that's appropriate.
It's a grind. Every day. I'm a musician myself. I'm a percussionist. I'm a music
teacher, so we're on the same side of this.
Nice. So so when you're in that, how do you stay motivated, and what do you do to re-energize yourself to like keep it going? Because it can be daunting. I mean, it really can. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, and also it's a big emotional investment. So like, what are some things that you do personally to kind of help you through that?
Sometimes I write and sometimes I play without recording. I don't hit record, and I'm fully aware that whatever I create in that moment will not have a record.
Right.
And it's just for the sake of, this is not job related, it's not rehearsal related, it is just me falling in love again with this thing, because we have a good relationship, music and I. Yeah. And sometimes, and a lot, I feel like a lot of artists can attest to that. They have a good relationship with their craft. It's usually when it comes to how do you sell it, how do other people appreciate it, that people begin to sell a little bit of creativity. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Sometimes it's necessary. But for me, that those feelings, when I have to have so many conversations with managers and agents and publicists and all this stuff, it can feel like, are we still talking about the songs? You know? Mm-hmm. So at my home, I have a baby, like an upright. I was about to say baby grand. I'm speaking it to existence. No, I don't have a baby grand. But I have a little upright, and sometimes I just sit there and I play through different phrasings, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm still in love.
Yeah.
It's just reconnecting with my first love. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I recenter when it gets to be, you know, chaotic, just trying to keep up with it. Because, you know, as a starting musician, it is not just singing. You are your manager. You are your agent. You are your website designer. Mm-hmm. You are everything all at once until you can afford help. And so it takes a lot of centering to keep that the first thing first, for sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of prayer. I pray a lot. I don't go to a church, mm-hmm. but I'm very spiritual.
So this is a great segue for someone who's kind of coming up and is trying to find their passion and is like, well, how do I do this? Not necessarily mm-hmm. as a career, but how do I pursue these creative passions?
Yeah.
What would be some advice that you have? Because it sounds like to me that sometimes the business end of it becomes the daunting part or the barrier to entry in some ways. What would be some advice that you have for someone that's just starting?
Start. Yeah, yeah, like I literally had an idea and I started singing at open mic nights.
Yeah.
And I decided that I would be the best singer I was wherever I got the opportunity to sing.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for a job or trying to record a project. Mm-hmm. I knew that the gift was my voice, and so I sang.
Right.
I sang walking down the street. I sang in the gym with my headphones on. I'm that person because I wanted to train, and I needed to feel confident singing in front of others. I didn't always have that, and so that was my process. But I would say whatever your first goal is, say for example you want to make something that you can sell. So say if you're a singer, your first album. If your goal is to make an album, the first thing you need to understand is how do you record? Because your voice singing in the air is not the same thing as in the studio.
Right.
So get one of those cheap mics off Amazon and figure out the difference between what you hear when you rehearse and what comes through that mic. So get comfortable with that so you don't have to hassle with sound engineers and spend more money on studio time than necessary. Record the album on GarageBand. Use your laptop first. Create complete references for your songs before you invite other people to help you in that vision, because if you don't have a clear directive, it will not maintain its integrity or its purity from its original form. So I would say go slow. You need to learn how to be type A a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Don't show up late to things. Show up on time. Respond to emails. Be courteous. Smile. Be respectful. Adhere to dress codes. Don't be drunk on gigs. Don't be of any substance on gigs. Mm-hmm. It is, if you want it, everything in your life needs to submit and to make sure that that happens. And if it doesn't happen, the way I look at it, I'll go to heaven and I'll say, well, it won't be because of me that it didn't happen.
It is interesting. There's probably, you know, that learning curve of singing in your shower versus singing mm-hmm. into a microphone or singing in front of people, because it's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
Not only just like the feedback from what you're getting from everybody else, mm-hmm. but actually like aurally what you're actually hearing. So.
Yeah, because your inner ear is participating when you rehearse.
Yeah.
And the microphone is only catching what's coming out externally. Mm-hmm. And so live singing even is very different than studio singing.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So in terms of like, you know, going back to the creative side of it, I mean, I don't know. Everyone has something a little bit different, like something that they consider healthy. I mean, not necessarily like food or drink, but like also like, you know, just, you know, making time to do things. You know, what are some things that you do in terms of habits that like kind of really help your creativity?
One, I rest every Monday. I do not work on Mondays because the weekends are so hard. You know,
that's when
I do the most physical lifting, when I'm talking about PA gear and sound and commuting, sometimes driving out of town, and then performing. So Mondays is always my time, and I reset however I choose. It's not a regimen of, oh, I have to do these things on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm not a TV person. So me being at home is truly restful because there's nothing coming into my space and everything is on do not disturb.
Uh-huh.
I will check it throughout the day when I need to, but it's creating those boundaries of I've been everything for everybody all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one person who needs a little bit of restoration.
Yeah,
and that's me. And then I'm able to go back out to start my work week again on Wednesday through Sunday again.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been in it for a while. How, and it sounds like you know, you use that time to kind of disconnect and unplug for a little bit. Mm-hmm. How has social media like changed, like what you do or like, or just how you engage with not only like other musicians or like, yeah. or people who want to hear your music, but how has social media really affected, your process?
I struggle with it. Struggle with it because there is so competitive. If you spend too much time on the market, it can start to make you think that you're not hearing what you're hearing correctly about your art. And so it can be a little convoluted. So there are times where I will make a post and then I log right off. Yeah. Like I'm there to work. It is a part of my job. And that's how I view social media. Now, I have friends on social media, but by and large, my main accounts are for my work. And so when I go on, I go in, I clock in, I work. I schedule a post or I make it right then. I don't spend a lot of time scrolling. I spend a lot of time seeing, like watching things that my close friends send me in DMs. So that's kind of my feed. It's like they filter for me the funny stuff, the cool stuff, the things that have nothing to do with my world because my timeline is full of other people who are doing what I'm doing. And that can feel, it can feel, I like it. I like seeing other people do things. So I do like to encourage others and I like to see it, but I'm careful. It's a line, you know, there's a pendulum and sometimes you can spend a little more time on there, sometimes a little less, but you know what I'm saying?
No, that's really interesting how it is like the social media aspect and the marketing aspect of it has become the business side of it, you know, and it's like, there's a difference between, you know, you know, scrolling TikTok videos or whatnot and actually promoting yourself that way.
And creating that content.
It
takes so much, these 30-second videos that take 5 hours sometimes. It's like, you know, you get it.
No, I'm sure. So speaking of social media content and a lot of gigs and things coming up, tell us what's next. Like, what's coming up?
So that Sam Cooke show is coming up next. I released a single today, actually.
Perfect timing, huh?
I know, right? It's called Mutual Vibes.
Cool.
It's featuring an artist. I'm the featured artist, but the main artist, his name is the Master of Creation. Master in Creation. He's a newer artist in Pittsburgh. And I met him last year, and he had a song, and he wanted me to kind of mess around on it. So I did the early 2000s thing where you got a rap song and then a singer on
the
hook.
The singer in the background.
And I like that for me. It's the first feature I've done on a recording since I've been solo and not background. But
Awesome. So just to finish up, any parting words, like something that you can leave out there for everybody about you or, you know, something that you'd like to see happen in the arts or being creative? I mean, it's such a, you know, when we say things like the arts, it's such a wide word because there's so many things out there. But what's a good parting take for us today?
If you have a thought, it didn't come from you. All of our thoughts are inspired. And if someone, not naming, if someone inspired your thoughts, there must have been a reason they chose you. And so you should respond.
Yeah, I like that. It's a mutual respect, I guess.
It's like if somebody calls you and you didn't answer, they feel some kind of way. Pick up the phone.
Well, thank you very much, Kenny. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you and getting to hear about
this was fun.
The things you're doing. Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. And just as a reminder for our listeners, you can always check out the podcast on all the streaming services and check out some of Kenny's music as well. And from the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast, I'm Alan Fear, and thank you so much for joining us today. The Pittsburgh Creators Podcast is supported by the Pittsburgh Creators Project. You can learn more at www.pittsburghcreators.com. If you know a creator we should speak to, let us know by contacting us through our website. The podcast is produced and theme composed by Robert Traw. Thanks to Red Cayman Studios here in Pittsburgh. All episodes were recorded and edited at Red Cayman. I'm Alan Fear, and this is the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. We'll see you next time.